Welcome to GLHF, the world's first podcast in video games. Austin, you look a little high, if I can say that.
I'm totally high on life because I just ate the most incredible tomato basil soup my life.
Yeah, this is the second time you're mentioning
told you.
It to me.
Yeah. But
it must have been
pretending
great.
Like it's the first. I'm going to mention it one more time before the pod's over because it was so good. It was from this place in New Orleans called La Boulangerie, and it's delicious, and I got a lot of it. And so I'm full belly and full of gratitude and stoned.
Nice. That's the best way to enjoy tomato basil soup, I assume. I've never been stoned,
yes.
But people say food is good when you're stoned.
It was weed tomato basil soup. So it was like, it was baked with, you know, like cookie. They used to do cookies back when I was in high school or whatever. But now they're putting it directly into the tomato basil soup. And you just drink it.
Sounds
incredible.
From
that, it was incredible. It was honestly very delicious.
So you said you had a grilled cheese with it. Is there any kind of cream involved in this soup? Like, just list the ingredients for me, I guess.
I don't have them.
Oh.
Wow. So I can't, but it's definitely, it's not a, you know, like canned tomato basil soup, like Progresso, whatever it is. It's like kind of translucent.
Yeah, I think.
Progressive tomato basil soup. This is not that. There's definitely some kind of cream in here and some many, many delicious little flavors and things. So
that
when I get
amazing.
The recipe, I'll do my best to share it and if I can figure it out. But if I remember correctly, when I last looked at the recipe for this particular soup, it involved like, it's like four steps where you like emulsify and then cook one thing and then cook a separate thing and then you put them together and then strain it. It's like a whole like restaurant thing.
Right.
But I'm going to figure it out because it was so good.
It sounds a little bit stressful. Like I get so stressed out with recipes where, what is it called when you have to, is this what a roux is when you have to use?
Yes.
Flour in something and it's it's like very time sensitive, like you have to like whisk it for exactly 60 seconds and then start putting other stuff in, and that stuff stresses me out.
It's an interesting thing, like there's levels of cooking, but like for the most part with cooking you have a little bit of flexibility and you can kind of save things if you mess them up, but there's a certain level of cooking where it's like a thing you can mess up. It's like a quick time event that you have to do correctly, and that type of cooking is really scary to me. It's like there's not a I wish there I had a better way of describing it, but there's a certain type of activity where it's like it's kind of like playing music live. It's like, oh no, you have to, you don't just have to like be able to do it, you actually have to do it.
Yeah,
like understanding the steps is not the majority of the battle.
That's why
whereas
it's such
for a lot
an
of things,
impressive
it is.
Skill when like a good chef is cooking like three things at a time and everything is time sensitive and they're just like bopping around to the different things. Meanwhile, if I have to make one thing that involves a roux, I'm like, anybody comes in the kitchen, I'm like, get the fuck out and leave me alone. I cannot.
So you have to stare at it and like timers set everywhere.
Yeah.
You have to think through every step before you actually started it.
Yes.
And like time it all out. Yeah.
Cause with my memory, the hardest part of doing a recipe for me is just remembering what the fuck I'm doing in that moment. I go back and read it like literally 20 times a second.
Exactly. No, I am exactly the same way. And it means that like I have to make the same thing like 10 to 15 times in a row before I like am able to do it. And what I've noticed is, so I spent a lot of like the last 2 years, there was a period of time where every night I would eat beans. And so I would learn how to make beans. And then eventually I added rice and I figured out how to make rice. And I have to like introduce one thing
at a
time. And so now I can make beans, rice, and tofu with peppers. But each of those things was a separate thing I had to learn how to make. And if you introduce, like if you told me to make beans, rice, and tempeh with peppers, the whole thing would fall apart because I don't know how to incorporate it.
Wait,
like
what?
Into every other step.
How complicated were these beans you were making? Because I don't think
so
beans
simple.
Are usually
so simple.
That hard.
It's mostly heating them up. But the thing that happens is when I introduce the tempeh, because I'm not familiar with how long it takes to open the packaging and where exactly it is and what it looks like and where I should set it and what, like, just all of these little things that should be second nature. Like, it should just be intuitive for a human being.
Right, but you're panicking
it's
every
like
time.
I, I'm panicking every moment. I'm completely panicked.
Where the fuck did the beans go I just ate last night?
Exactly. They're gone, or they're sitting over in the pan, but then I'm like, oh, normally, like, it's part of my flow to open the tofu, but because it's tempeh, I didn't do that, and now I have to get this open really quick, and oh, I knocked the spoon over, and now the beans are burning, and it's like... It's legitimately, like, I have to learn things so carefully when it comes to cooking.
You know what? This is yet another reason why it's fine if we just go to restaurants every day, okay? This is too stressful.
I love that. I literally ordered food right after the podcast was over. Because I'm like, listen, these restaurants are struggling. They could use my money. I'll tip real well. I'm going to eat a good meal. We're chilling. We're good, you know?
Listen.
Let me live.
And I'm enabling you. I think you're allowed.
Thank you.
I think that's fine.
Thank you. I'm not going to read the comments. I'm only going based on you. You're the opinion I trust.
That you never would have had if you didn't freaking order it from a restaurant. I also just had a burrito from a restaurant as well.
Was it from that one? From that one place? You don't have to say it, obviously.
But
was it the place that I went?
Yes.
Nice. That place was good.
I'm really a regular when it comes to the restaurants and coffee places I go to. I go to the same. I get the same things. Over and over and over.
I think that's really smart. It's so
because
funny
I
to
know
me
what
how
I
frequently.
Like.
Exactly. And it's so funny to me. I have this experience a lot where I'll go out to eat with somebody and I'll just immediately know what I want. I'm just going to order the same thing that I always order. And they'll like ruminate and then order something that they're not sure about but sounds good. And every time they're
and then
like,
they'll be disappointed.
Can I get some of your food? Yeah, I want some of yours because yours is better. And I'm like, oh, I knew it was good.
Yeah.
That's why I got it. So it's good to try new things sometimes, but I'm if I'm going out to eat, I'm just going to get something that I can trust. You know what I'm
no,
saying?
No, exactly. Because
I'm not trying to take risks.
If I'm getting like excited about going out to eat and having something delicious, and I want to get something that I know is going to be delicious, I don't want to take a chance
exactly.
and a gamble on something that I might not like. And then I'm going to be like disappointed and upset the rest of the night that I spent money on something bad.
Yeah, maybe not the rest of the night, but yeah, you have a period of recovery. You know, you're like, damn, why am I even in this restaurant? Like,
literally,
why did I even come here?
I should have just ate you're my
like,
beans
as soon as you take
home.
A bite, exactly. As soon as you take a bite and it sucks, you should just ask for the check and go. Because at that point, the rest of the time is wasted. There's no point being there anymore.
You're
or you should
so
order
right.
something else, I guess. But it's just these are our opinions. Okay, this is we speak for the common man. Is the sentiment that I get.
We're exactly.
This is how most people are. And I will not be reading the comments.
I do have a couple topics to get to today.
Come to me.
First of all, I mean, so this is technically the first episode of a new month. Like, when this is posted, we are no longer in Halloween month. So
yes.
RIP to the Halloween episodes. This is still, like, a little bit spooky, I guess. But it's like we're, like, ramping back out of the spooky phase, I suppose.
Yeah.
But for us, Halloween is tomorrow. And so I still have been watching... I'm trying to watch more of the like classic horror movies. There's a lot of them that I haven't seen. So I watched Nightmare on Elm Street for the first time. Have you seen that one?
I don't think...
With Freddy?
No, I
Kruger?
Scrolled by it on... I think it was on HBO or whatever. And I was like, this looks really... I can't tell if it looks scary or funny. But I think it looks scary.
I mean, that's exactly
so
that's exactly what I'm here to talk about. Okay.
Okay, give it to me. Well, how was it?
I mean, so first of all, you have seen what Freddy Krueger looks like, right? Because he's all over Spirit Halloween.
That's the funny part.
Yes.
Yeah.
He
looks like a scab.
Yeah.
And
so,
not the bad kind.
Yeah, his face is. I mean, lore drop. He was burned. Okay, that's why he looks like that. So he's supposed to have like burns all over him. And I did just want to start this with a outfit review because I want to get into the mind of whoever came up with this outfit for a guy that's supposed to be like an evil serial killer. Okay, he's got the knife fingers, which okay, granted
good,
that's scary.
Useful, makes sense.
But then he's wearing a red and green striped sweater, like Christmas colors. Looks
yes.
goofy as hell.
I
it looks like an ugly Christmas sweater. Yeah, we'll put up a picture. Ethan, please put up a picture of Freddy
Krueger.
Yes,
Kruger. I'm seeing. Okay.
And a freaking fedora. And he's got this, like, devilish grin. Like, he's always got this sly smile.
Yeah.
And he's always giggling. And so my argument is Nightmare on Elm Street is a comedy. It's one of the funniest movies I've ever seen. And I'm like so excited to watch the sequels because apparently the sequels only get funnier. Like they lean into Freddy being funny. Supposedly the first one, a lot of people saw in theaters in the 80s and were legitimately freaked out by him and like thought it was uncanny and like didn't think it was funny. I thought that guy was hilarious.
Was it funny, scary, or just like this is so bad it's funny?
I don't know.
Is it intentionally funny? Or is it like it's an 80s costume?
To me, it seemed intentionally funny. I think that's something that I like about horror in general, though, is sometimes you can't tell if it's intentionally funny or not. But I do think that for whatever reason, horror and comedy are like very closely linked in the human brain. Like they always kind of go together. So
especially like a type of horror and a type of comedy. Like there's a physicality to it that can be really funny in both cases.
Yeah.
Like Step Brothers is more like a horror movie than it is like a tradition, like another type of comedy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I still haven't seen that one. I need to see that.
Oh, well, there you go.
But yeah, Freddy
is... I haven't seen it either.
A freaking clown. I posted on Blue Sky a screenshot of Freddy. It's, I think, the very first time you see him. Because the
I'm gonna go look.
The whole thing is that... he comes to you in your dreams, and if he kills you in your dream, he kills you in real life. So the first scene of the movie, you start in this girl's dream, and Freddy's like chasing her all around town, and it is kind of cool. They do some like dreamlike effects. Like there's a moment when she looks like she should be running really fast, but she's running really slow, like you do in dreams. So that aspect of it was kind of cool. But Freddy
are these
is,
really his arms?
Freddy is chasing her. And because it's a dream, like, you're just seeing all kinds of weird stuff happen. So, like, there's one shot where it goes back to Freddy and his arms are super long. And then in the next shot, they're normal again because it's supposed to be, like, dream logic that doesn't make sense. But that shit was so funny, dude. He's chasing her down the alley with, like, 15-foot-long arms. And then the next shot, he's chasing her and it's, like... It's just the goofiest run ever. I can't even describe it.
I actually could see why someone would be absolutely terrified at how weird this is. Because it is funny, but if you accept the premise that he's might murder you, it actually becomes really terrifying. But I don't know how well they sell that, the fear of it at the same time. But this picture is actually kind of scary to me. Maybe I'm a coward.
In the moment, it was really funny to me, but also... I'm like desensitized because I've seen a million horror movies and I've seen modern horror movies that are like way more realistic looking. So the 80s special effects were just not getting me as much.
But if we set this up and this happened to you in real life, like if I hired some people and we were walking around like an alleyway in New Orleans or something and a long arm guy with a fedora.
No, that
you
would be terrifying.
Your pants.
Yeah.
Unironically, for sure.
The fedora really adds so much to it too, though, because it's like it's a little bit crooked. Like it just looks so funny. The little crooked fedora with his long arms.
Have you seen that? What's that fucking Tim Robinson sketch where he puts the fedora on and he's driving the car and it's like the thing on the?
And he's smoking a cigar. Yes.
Yeah, that thing. It like kind of has that energy to me when I see Freddy with his little funny smile.
He's a goofy guy. There's another scene where. I guess it's technically the main girl. There's like two girls and two guys, teenagers in this movie, and the first girl dies like immediately, and then the second girl is kind of like the main character for the rest of it. But she's trying to call her boyfriend that lives across the street, and Freddy answers, and he says, "I'm your boyfriend now," and then a tongue comes out of the phone and licks her mouth. That shit is so hilarious.
Yes, gross too. Though
it's gross, but it's so funny.
If you think about that, I've never thought about this really and taken it seriously. But the idea of somebody who kills you in your dreams—how scary would it be to start dreaming that guy and know that like you needed to wake up right the hell now?
Right. Yeah.
But like you can't. That is kind of a scary idea. I'll give him props for that.
It's a very scary idea because it's like. You're so helpless because you can't control what you dream.
Have they made like a remake, like a recent one?
I don't know. They made a few sequels apparently, But it was funny because I watched the movie, and then, as I usually do when I watch a new movie, I'm like just looking around on the internet for like what other people thought about it. And I was like watching a clip of it on YouTube or something, and some guy was commenting. He's like, I'm like 50 something years old, and I remember seeing this in theaters and not being able to sleep for weeks because of how creeped out I was by it. But they did wrong with the sequels because they made the sequels too funny. They made Freddy too funny. And I was like,
yeah.
Dude, Freddy is so funny in the first one. Freddy is so funny immediately.
It's entirely possible that the people who made this movie actually felt about it how you felt about it, as opposed to how the general public felt about it. You know, like, they actually thought it was kind of a funny thing because it sounds like they leaned into it.
Right.
So I also just learned that there's a pornographic version of it called A Wet Dream on Elm Street, which is pretty good.
And
There's an article here called Entrepreneurship Lessons from Freddy Krueger, based on the film. Persistence, focus, obsession, and partner, because he did Freddy versus Jason, and partnering with Jason or something, I guess, is good for a business. So if you want to learn about business, that's how I run my business. It's based on those.
Right, they
Freddy
say
Krueger
you should
lessons.
Find others in your niche to collaborate with. So that's what they were doing.
Exactly.
With that.
It's kind of what Freddy did. Do you think Jason is funny?
I don't know. So Jason, which one is that from?
Is it Friday the 13th or is it Halloween?
I don't know. There's so many I need to see.
It's the hockey mask guy.
So I got to watch all of these, and then I got to watch the crossover episodes. I mean, there's just so much to catch up on.
Did you watch others or just Nightmare on Elm Street?
So far, just Nightmare on Elm Street. There's a lot of them I need to watch. Okay.
So far, the only Halloween-ish movie that I've watched, and I almost never watch holiday-related films, but we were looking for something to watch, and we ended up watching, have you heard of this movie Maxine with three X's?
No.
It's like, it's pretty recent. I think it was like last year or something. I don't actually, now that I'm talking about it, I don't feel like re-describing all the whole plot, but I thought it was pretty good. It's apparently the third of a trilogy. I haven't seen the other ones, but it does, it rides that line of like, this is scary and campy, but like also kind of funny. Like there's a humor to it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I thought it was good. Kevin
That's
Bacon
my favorite
is in it
kind
and he
of
plays
horror.
A really funny guy.
I like funny horror and I like suspenseful horror. I don't like just like straight up people being hurt and tortured and stuff. That's
like
not
Saw.
The fun part.
You're not a Saw.
Yeah.
You might find the humor in it. You should try it.
maybe
Knowing you,
maybe
you probably think that guy's voice
is
really funny. I want to play a game. He'll be like, oh my god, this is really funny.
Wait, that sounded so scary.
Okay, well, if you didn't like that, then you're not going to like...
Wait, you just sounded like you got really close to the mic. That was really scary. You just said that into my brain.
You have to do the voice.
But, so, because you accidentally watched a third in a series of movies, I just want to say, I don't like it when people advertise, like, books or movies that are sequels as if they're not sequels, because it's confusing. There's like been multiple times when I've like picked up a book at a bookstore or a library or something because there's no indication that it's part of... Oh, I accidentally cast a spell.
Yeah, what did you just do? What spell did you cast? Did you say tornado or something?
I accidentally cast...
Looks like a tornado.
Tempest? Which is now on a cooldown, so
said.
It's not...
Wait, can you back up and say the same sentence that you just said? Do you remember exactly how you said it? Wait till it cools down and
not.
I want you to start this story over. Oh, fuck. Let's see if we can pinpoint
no
it.
Way
oh, well.
I remember.
So you don't like when you're like, oh, this looks interesting, and then they go, oh, the sequel too, and you're like, fuck you, I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, I think sometimes with books, they try to just... Because they just want you to pick it up no matter what, so they try to, like, not make it obvious that it's a sequel on purpose, because they don't want to, like, lose out on potential business if you were to buy it. But, like, I just remember when I was back in my reading phase as, like, a teenager and I was reading all the time, I, like, picked up a couple books at different times that I got, like... two chapters in before I was like, it seems like they're needing me to know way more than I do about these characters already. And then I find out it's like third in a series. I'm like, what the hell? Anyway,
yeah. And you're like, this is lame. You put it. Yeah. Who cares?
That's my controversial rant for today.
Two things sort of on this topic. One, what I think is even more confusing is when things are advertised as sequels, but they're not really, like Final Fantasy. None of those are related. But every single one sounds like it's directly related to the ones before.
Oh, they're not related to each other?
almost none of them are. There's like a couple exceptions where there's some crossover, but okay. 3, 4, 5, 6, they have no characters. They're
I've
not
never
even the same timeline.
Played a Final Fantasy, and
rules.
I've always wondered if like I need to catch up on
no,
some kind of lore
all
before
effectively,
I just so I can just pick one and go.
It's basically like Zelda. They're as yeah. related as the Zelda games, maybe even less so.
But are
honestly.
They in the same world?
No. Totally different time, like different technological times, totally different characters, totally different nations. There's again, there's a couple that are similar, but generally every single one is a completely new fabricated reality.
Okay.
And then there's like similar crossover, like the same, like not memes, but like there's these like bird creatures called chocobos that'll be in all of them. But like there's not actually any like story relation or lore relation between any of them, at least as far as I know.
You know,
so
saw
it's weird.
On a... on some kind of Final Fantasy fan wiki one time, I found a page that said there's a boss in one of the games called Memoria, like spelled exactly like my name.
Really? Have you, you should beat it as like a, like when you die. Like for your, when you're dying, that should be the last thing you do. I don't know why that's what came to mind. I'm sorry. We
you
don't
should,
have to think about
you
that.
You should beat it when you die, huh?
Yeah, Final Fantasy, where, I'm trying to look for a picture of it.
Yeah, let me see if I can find it. I don't know. I think I accidentally found it when I was just Googling my name one day, as you do.
You have to check and make sure that you're not Googleable. I actually check that very frequently.
It's from Final Fantasy IX.
Okay.
Or, wait, is it a boss or a... Oh, it says it's a dungeon?
I'm seeing a location. Like a... Oh, okay. A dungeon named after you. Well,
why did I think it was a being? Anyway.
Maybe it has a final boss, like, in it or something. But,
so
yeah,
go
it looks
play
like
Final
it's a
Fantasy
place.
9 and you can explore my dungeon.
can we talk about serial killers for 2 seconds? Is that acceptable? It's Halloween, kind
yeah,
of.
Yeah, sure. Which one?
So, a part of this movie, this Maxine movie I watched, is it's set in the 80s in L.A. And the backdrop is this the Night Stalker murder guy. And... So every once in a while, there's like a scene in the movie where there's like a news report about the Night Stalker. And it just kind of hit me how insane it would be to turn on the news and have them go, yes, this mysterious person, no one has any idea who it is, that we've decided to name the Night Stalker, is running around murdering people at random. And he did it again just last night. Like, just imagine turning on the news and hearing in your town, yeah, there's some guy, and we're going to call him the stabbing angel of death murderer, and he's running around, and he's killing. It's like something out of a Marvel movie,
yeah.
almost. And the idea of living in a time where you would turn on the news, and every night they would be like, the Night Stalker is still out and about, murdering people at random. That's like an insane... I think I would used to just be like, oh, yeah, that was crazy. You know, like not really thinking about it. But just imagine that feeling of turning on the news and then being like, there's a mysterious.
Yeah, that's why
mass murderer
I mean, it gets
creeping
the public
around.
Worked up into a tizzy.
Oh, my God. It does.
And
then they start talking about Satanism and all sorts of crazy things. So I kind of just shout out to all my people who went through like the 80s. If you were in a town that had a murderer, because if you told me that. If you told me, like, oh, there's a, you know, they always come up with funny names, but, like, the Crescent City Slasher,
mm-hmm.
and he's out and about. If you told me that, I'm not going outside until that guy's caught. No shot am I going to walk around at night
right.
when there's a slasher on the loose.
Especially if
they're,
that's
like... That's just how it was.
This guy only kills white guys with brown hair, brown eyes, and then you look
especially
in the mirror.
Especially if that. Thank God. That's never happened before.
Yeah, exactly.
It's always some other race of people.
No, it's always...
or some other, but...
It's almost always blonde with, girls, isn't it?
Except I think the... who was the one guy who did it? Who everyone... He did a bunch of guys. Whatever, doesn't matter. Anyway,
yeah,
I just wanted
true.
To...
that's true. You
just,
really... You don't have a lot to worry about when it comes to serial killers, I think, historically.
Mostly. There's definitely been some exceptions. Like the Zodiac Killer killed all sorts of weird people. Did they ever catch that guy? Did they? No, they didn't.
I don't.
He's still unidentified.
Think
so. They have one creepy sketch of him.
You know what I was thinking when you asked that question? I was thinking of the movie Zodiac that I know I've seen, and I'm like, wait, what happened to the movie? Did they catch him?
They
I
didn't
don't think
catch
they
him
did.
In the movie.
I don't think they did.
No, because they didn't catch him in real life.
Yeah.
That movie has a really scary scene at the beginning. Do you remember that?
Not exactly.
When he kills those people on the beach? Not good.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, he was killing people.
Yeah,
I know. Mark Ruffalo was in that, wasn't he? I really liked that movie. I should watch that again.
It's a very good movie. It's a scary movie in like a very real way, but it's a good movie. And the police sketch thing is scary. The fact that that's all you have to go on. It's like a creepy sketch. And then you're like looking at everyone on the street being like, does
for
that
sure.
look like
this
sketch?
It's like living
sketch?
In a movie.
Truly is. Truly is. Absolutely insane.
Yeah.
I couldn't handle it. I wouldn't be able to,
able
to handle it.
Not to get too current events, but I feel that way about a lot of things I see on TV these days as well.
This is absolutely true. And in some ways it's probably statistically scary. Well, I don't know. Actually, there's probably way less murdering than there was in the 80s. I don't know. I'll have to look it up. But they never caught the Zodiac.
Yeah.
So
freaky stuff. Anyway,
freaky stuff.
Is that all you had to say about serial killers?
That's it. Now we can go on to your next topic.
Well, I just thought of a question for you.
Okay.
It's really just been on my mind ever since you said it a couple episodes ago about that you were going in mirror mazes followed by a hat man chasing you.
Right.
And I kind of just wanted to follow up on that. I don't think we expanded on that enough in the moment. And I need to know
You've
if
just
you
been
were
thinking about that since
it's
I
been
said
on my
it?
Mind. It's been on my mind. I
Why
just,
didn't you
I
ask
need to
about
know
it
if
at the
you
time?
Were.
I'm happy to talk about
like,
it.
Like, was that a joke? Was that
the,
real?
The
was
whole
that real?
Thing?
Were you joking?
No. The whole thing was completely made up.
That's what
that
I thought.
Not,
that's what I thought.
It's not a real
but in the
thing
moment,
that happened.
I believed you.
I was really proud of how well I sold that bit. But no, it was totally fabricated.
Thank God.
Top to bottom. I don't know
me,
even
I think
how.
I'm very gullible because you had me looking back thinking, wait, was there a guy chasing me when I would go in mirror mazes?
Now I got to wonder about the thousands of people who heard me say that and were like, wait, hold on. And we're like, never. That's the only episode they listen to and they're never going to go into mirror maze because of that. Yeah, no, totally made up. It was actually made up half a second before I said it. I don't know where it came
sure
from
it
or why I thought about it. Yeah, I really have no idea what sort of divine inspiration that was. But yeah, completely, totally fabricated. Like, it took me by surprise just
Damn.
As much as it did
well,
you.
Well, I mean, if that doesn't exist, maybe we need to make that happen. Because that sounds like it would make it more exciting.
Well, you know, it would be scary to get chased through a mirror maze by somebody because you would suddenly see, like, seven of them around you all the time.
Exactly.
And you would never know
Just
if
like
you were
Freddy?
About to run into them. Or
That could be hilarious.
Yeah, even. Holy smokes, with those arms. Be weird.
I gotta see the rest of
it. We could set it up.
Like, Nightmare on Elm Street might be my new favorite thing. If I like the sequels, too, this might become, like, the thing that I watch every Halloween because that shit was so
I
funny.
I mean, Mission Impossible's over, so you gotta get something going.
Oh, my God,
you know?
I know. There were a couple things that were freaky. And, like, I'll give props to practical effects in 80s movies, because I also watched The Thing recently, which also was, like, 100% practical effects, but with, like, a ton of gore in it, which was crazy to see. And, that shit actually is really scary, almost. Like, I don't want to be one of these people that's just, like, practical is always better. I really do think it was, like, a little bit scarier than if it had been CGI gore.
Yes.
Because it was just, like... Like, it was obvious that it wasn't real. Like, I was imagining the whole time, like, that they obviously, like, sculpted these things and that it was rubber or whatever, but it was, like, the fact that it was real, like, liquid sloshing around really made it so much grosser.
Yeah. So, I think mostly... There have been some horror movies recently that I thought were able to, like, be genuinely really scary with, like, the visuals. Because there's a lot of, like, conceptually scary horror movies, like Get Out or mm-hmm. the one where the thing follows everybody everywhere. But it's not, like, back in the 80s and stuff, it was the visuals, things that were on screen were really scary. And there's less of that now that I can recall. It's more like concepts are scary. Like, Paranormal Activity is, like,
yeah.
That's a really scary movie, but it's because of the concept. I think I generally would agree that, like, doing a physical object is always going to be a little more uncanny and a little scarier, especially because to make it look good, you often have to, like, partially obscure it or, like, film it from only a very particular angle.
Yeah, and it's just
which
crazy.
Which then makes your imagination go all
freaked. It's crazy what they were doing. It was weird because there wasn't like a lot of special effects moments in Nightmare on Elm Street. But then when it would happen, it was like just higher effort than I was expecting them to do. So like there's one part where the girl's trying to like defend herself from Freddy and she puts her hand on his face and a bunch of skin on his face like slides off in her hand. That's gross. And then there's another scene that was like very Lynchian. I was watching this thinking like, I wonder what David Lynch thought of this movie, because it really reminded me of some stuff that you see in Twin Peaks. But there was another scene where this kid basically like explodes in blood. He's laying in his bed and he explodes in blood, but like a fountain of blood, like way, way more blood than could exist in a human being. And the way that they did it is you could tell that they made a set of his room upside down and then they were pouring blood from the bed.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so
that's really fun.
It was like flowing into the ceiling.
And like super surreal looking, I bet.
Super surreal, because again, it's kind of like half a dream, half reality. And then you could tell that they put a lot of effort into that special effects shot and they wanted to show it off, because they showed that happening for like, I don't know, a whole minute. It was crazy. Like it just kept going and going.
That's interesting, because I would have guessed that this movie was one of those like kind of like a Blair Witch type thing where it's like a really cheap, like all they had money for was the costume and everything else. They just had to do their best.
Yeah,
but it
a lot
like
of the
they,
stuff was pretty you know, cheap, but then they had a couple moments like that where there was like obviously a shit ton of effort put into it kind of out of nowhere.
It does say here the budget was only $1 million, which is not a lot for a film. So, there
yeah,
you go.
Probably well, 500K was on the buckets of fake blood they used for that scene in particular.
That explains why it was all a bunch of no-name actors.
And also, that kid that exploded in blood was Johnny Depp. And I was, for the first like 10 minutes of the movie, I was like, is that Johnny Depp? Because he looks so different because he's so young. He's like a child.
Yeah. Whereas now he's old and wrinkled, old and decrepit.
He's freaking ancient.
He was a cutie back in the 80s.
But I was looking at him thinking, this kid doesn't even know he's going to be Jack Sparrow one day.
That was the thing that he didn't know. Like, he never could have seen that coming.
No.
That he would be the... What, and what's, you know what's interesting? Pirates of the Caribbean, the ride, did exist at that time. So all of the groundwork had been laid.
Wow, yeah.
But we just needed to wait another 20 years. That's a great film, Pirates of the Caribbean, that first one. Holy smokes.
It is. It's really good.
Just a solid,
have you seen the clip
movie
of Keira Knightley talking about how Jack Sparrow was never going to be that kind of like drunkard character, and like his whole aura, Johnny Depp
it
just made
all,
it up.
Yes. Which is like such a great, like a great representation of what acting can bring to a thing. Because that then,
exactly,
if he didn't
like
do that series would have gone nowhere.
Acting. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that series would have been
if
nothing.
If he had just been like a regular ass protagonist.
Yeah, it would have been lame. But he was actually lame, like the coolest dude ever. I am looking at a picture of the remake of Nightmare on Elm Street. The Freddy. Kind of weird looking. I don't know if you knew this was real.
I didn't even know there was a remake.
Is this real? Do you want to see the picture?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure this has to be a joke. This can't be real. Oh, I almost pasted it into the
you're talking
wrong
about
Discord chat.
2010.
Take a look at this. That can't be real, right? There's no way that's what they went with. There's just no way that that's a real thing. That must be like a behind the scenes picture or something.
I mean, he is that silly in the first one, though. I don't think it's really that off base.
Well, that movie got horrendous reviews, it looks like, so
I gotta watch one too. I gotta watch everything.
I mean,
listen, before I fully judge, I need to watch everything related remotely to Nightmare on Elm Street, and I'll get back to
you. Would
you
ever do a like an Avatar video equivalent, but for Nightmare on Elm Street? Because I'm pretty sure there's at least one video game.
It might be in progress.
Have been like an NES game.
That might be what's happening right now.
See, that's what I'm wondering is you, because I think I told you this. Just that segment where you were describing the film of Avatar was one of the funniest, like, film. It's not even like a critique, but you know what I'm saying, like, things that I've seen since like those old Star Wars reviews that came out a long time ago. Like, I just thought it was a hoot.
And yeah, people like have totally told me I should do more like movie reviews.
You could really do like
I don't
want
to be a review
catches
channel,
your
though.
Fancy. No, 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 not. You should never be a review channel. Absolutely not.
No.
But you could do. You've brought
I'm glad you
topics.
agree on that.
No, absolutely. Nobody should be.
I don't.
That.
Yeah, I don't think anybody should be reviewing anything really.
Yeah, I honestly, the older I get and the smarter I get and the more intelligence I accrue, I think I agree.
Because here's something about, you know, I've been doing these Steam games videos and I've been ranking them
also,
at the end.
Another banger. Holy smokes.
Yeah,
that
I guess.
The video's going nuts.
You know.
My God. But you're ranking them, yes.
And that was truly like a totally last minute decision based on nothing. I just needed an outro for the first video, and I was like, I'll do a top three, whatever. Like, really didn't think about it. And now that I've done it twice, I'm reminded why I don't rank things or put numbers on things, because I don't like the vibe of that. I don't know. I think everything is, like, so subjective, and really, at the end of the day, the things that I'm ranking at the end of those videos are just, like, what I wanted to talk about the most. And so that's how I should have framed it. I shouldn't have framed it as ranking, because then everybody's having opinions about my ranking, and I'm like, guys, I put about 10 seconds of thought into this, if I'm being totally
real
with you.
But I think you are allowed, and you should, do things unseriously that you know people are going to take seriously. I think that's a good exercise for people in
that's
like
true.
Cortisol management.
Yeah.
Like, because they're going to get all worked up and have to like somehow make sense of how did you, this doesn't, because you said this. And I think it's good for people to have to contend with their emotions like that. And you don't have to take it seriously, and you shouldn't, because you're correct, it's dumb. But it does, I think really the function it serves for me when I watch that is it's basically just a way for me to go, which three of these did you like, do you want to mention again for an arbitrary reason? Like, which three came to mind? And then I get to reminisce on them and I get to think, what were my three favorites? And it's not a serious thing, but it just is like a nice conceit for that. So I think it has an earnest purpose, but also it's good to make people angry sometimes. I think you should have a little bit of push pull with your audience like that, because you never want them to control you, you know?
Yeah, it's just funny, I guess, like with these videos, you get a lot of new viewers, which is awesome.
Oh my God, the worst.
But they also don't understand that, like, pretty much nothing I say is serious ever, so
right,
like,
we're just having a good
time. I'm not actually here to, like, tell you the highest quality Steam games you should buy. That's not what I'm doing.
That should be self-evident, right?
I don't know.
Like, when you watch the video, it doesn't have the tone of that, but
it just made me realize I might change it up a little bit for next time if I do another episode of that, because that's the whole reason why when I did like the vibes of the PS2, the vibes of the Wii, the reason why I framed it like that and I was just like, I'm just going to use like a word to describe the vibes of this game, was because I explicitly wanted to avoid like rating it or ranking it in some way, because I just don't even, that's just not even the kind of content I want to make. But
well, and I think that actually gets to the same effect as what I'm talking about without all the baggage of it being like a rating, you know? It's just like a way to whatever, talk about things, but
just nobody should be taking gaming YouTubers seriously. Just ignore everything I say, really.
I haven't met one that deserves to be taken seriously yet, I think. The only ones that I would take seriously are the ones that aren't taking themselves seriously. So I've never met one that takes themselves seriously and deserves it. You know what I mean? Never. Not a once.
Yeah.
But I'm willing to be proven wrong. Could happen someday.
I'm glad we clarified about the hat man in the maze. That was really bothering
me. What are you talking
about?
I didn't say hat man. I never brought up hat.
Well,
you added hat.
You said a man in a hat, and I said hat man. Anyway,
I did not say a man in a hat. Did I really?
Yes. You said
he had
a hat.
I was on some kind of jazz. Yeah. I was jazz improv type talking on that episode, I guess. I was just playing all sorts of notes.
Anyway, do you have any other actual topics? Because the rest of mine are just responding to comments.
No, we can do. Let's,
which is good,
let's try
we
and knock
had,
out
we
some
had a lot of
actual
comments.
Listener questions. Yeah.
I wanted to mention that we did get schooled in the comments by a lot of people saying that at basically any point in human history, people would have been able to recognize SpongeBob as a living being, a drawing of a humanoid character. Like, basically, it seems like we would have to go to before Homo sapiens, like maybe some type of pre-human species before they would not understand what SpongeBob is.
So you're saying if we showed SpongeBob to a caveman, he would be like, what the fuck's wrong with that guy? They would know that it's a guy, though? You're saying they would know
it sounds like it, yeah. Like, they would understand that it's supposed to be, like, a drawing of a creature. Because my whole thing was, like...
A creature, yes, but we're saying, a humanoid. Like, would they recognize it as a humanoid, or would they think it was some kind of strange animal?
I guess I'm not really differentiating between
those
two. Yeah,
and also, what did they cite when they commented these things, ma'am? Did they cite anything?
Well, they're saying there's, like, just... There's been drawings, like... Basically, because my thought when I was saying that was, like, at what point were we able to recognize, like, a drawing of something as something? Which,
yeah,
it seems like basically any time, like 20,000 BC or whatever.
What date did we think it was? Did we come to a conclusion?
Because I was questioning whether people in medieval times would even understand SpongeBob, which is...
I guess in hindsight, that probably is. You would think, you know, they've, yeah.
But
I
yeah.
Guess we had.
So what I'm hearing really is that medieval times might be a ripe, untapped market for SpongeBob SquarePants. I mean, if we can get him back there and get the people on board...
You're saying time travel?
Yeah, because we were talking about if we time travel back, like, what would we show them? And I'm like,
maybe we show them
SpongeBob, and we make crazy bank on SpongeBob.
Do you think they like SpongeBob, though?
I don't.
Because
if they don't like SpongeBob,
then they truly don't understand it. Wouldn't you say?
If you understand it at all, you just automatically like it.
I guess
that's true. I was going to say they might not understand all the, like... ocean creature metaphors. Like, I don't know how much experience the average medieval peasant has with
true.
The ocean. But again,
yeah,
maybe we're like vastly underestimating the intelligence of the average medieval person.
We probably
person.
Are. No, because people... That's the thing that I refuse to believe. I know that all the evidence points to it being true, but I just can't believe when people say things like, you know, a caveman is as smart as you. Like, they have all the same capabilities in their brain.
Yeah.
No way. I just refuse to believe that. And I understand that what they're saying is, like, they have the
same capability.
They're
saying, like, biologically,
like,
right?
Yeah, if you brought a caveman and raised it from a caveman baby, it would learn and be a human just like we do, just as smart. And that just doesn't seem possible because all they know how to go is ooga booga and stuff, you know? So it just...
I
can't reconcile those two things. I don't do it.
It's
because
we've had... you know, that's the beauty of humanity is that we've had generations to... gather knowledge over time. We have generational knowledge to pass on.
Stand on the shoulders of giants and stuff. Yeah, mm-hmm. Blah, blah, blah. Einstein and Napoleon or whoever.
But, I mean, we all know from my favorite movie, Encino Man, that cavemen have more potential than we think.
Well, and that's what...
You give them a little bath.
I feel
you put
like...
a nice shirt on them. You bring them to high school. All the girls are obsessed.
And what's crazy about that is he was fully developed as a caveman. And then he was able to fit in. Now that's a talent, or that's a real skill. He ended up being hot by the end of that movie, right? Didn't they give him, like, hot guy hair?
He was hot pretty much as soon as they did the transformation scene. The first thing they did was bathe him, cut his hair, and he was immediately hot.
Okay. I've never seen Encino Man. I figured that would have been later in the movie, but...
Encino Man. Like... I wish there had been sequels. I want to know what happens when he, like, actually fully learns English.
You tell me there wasn't an Encino Man 2?
There should have been, but no. And Encino Man, the movie is very short. It's like an hour and a half. That's all we get of that world. I want to go back to that world.
Yeah, they should get one of those, but they should have Brendan Fraser be like the Brendan Fraser when he was in The Whale. So that then they'll have him, like, come out. I don't know why. I don't know why that came up. That's the last Brendan Fraser movie I know about.
Right.
But I think that they should do modern Brendan Fraser with modern Pauly Shore because he has a podcast now. And they should put those two people together.
It'll just be a huge time skip. Like, decades later, what is the caveman doing?
No. I think they should rethaw him.
Oh.
I think he should be back in ice. And it'll be like, it'll be meta because it'll be, he's a caveman from the 80s who got refrozen, who now has to adjust to modern life, even though all he knows is the 80s through the lens of a caveman. There you go.
Wow.
And then because modern food is so full of fat.
Fucked up when you say it like that.
Too many McDonald's.
Who refroze this guy?
Well, it's like Captain America.
That's
he had
cruel.
To do it to, I don't know. What happened at the end of Encino Man?
His caveman girlfriend from back in the day also gets thawed out, and they live happily ever after, I think.
Oh, all right. Well, we wouldn't want to ruin that.
And he loves her bazongas. He talks about it all the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's the caveman word, I assume, for that?
Yeah. He's like, the whole movie, he's like drawing pictures of her on the walls with huge bazongas because he misses her. It's very sweet, actually.
Yeah.
It's very romantic.
It sounds really funny. I should see this movie.
Anyway, so sorry that we underestimated medieval people's appreciation for SpongeBob. It sounds like they would love him.
Yeah, I'm sure they would. I think they'd be scared of him, but anyway.
I also wrote down this comment because we were talking about IQ. I just wanted to shout out this person, Pud & Co., that said, every time I get concussed, which is a lot, I lose approximately 10 IQ, according to free online IQ tests I like to take when I get concussed. I go up like 2 or 3 a year, so I've probably lost about 40 IQ all up since 2019, if we believe my individual experience and memory, which we shouldn't, as I crashed my motorbike 3 months ago and then once again concussed.
How scary would it be to regularly take IQ tests and see the number going down?
I mean,
that'd be a crazy thing to see.
And they seem really like chill about it in this comment, which is what I thought was funny. Like, they're getting concussed
they probably
all the time.
Really high.
You think
they're
like genius
like a 160,
level? So
now they're like a 120, and they're like
so.
Oh.
Honestly, like now they can just relate more to the average person because they're shaving off that extra at the top.
Now here's something that'll really get your noggin scratching or whatever. Do you think that's the only reason they like their, like, would they like our podcast if they hadn't got concussed? Would they even be here?
I don't
or
like
would
to think about
to
stuff
gone,
like that.
I don't think so. I don't, this is too dumb for me. That Encino Man conversation, they would have turned it off if they hadn't gotten all those concussions. That's my theory.
Encino Man is great. It's just perfect. It's
perfect in the
film.
Same bucket in my head as like Waterworld and like, Biodome and all of those. I don't know why Waterworld and Biodome are in this. I'm not thinking of Waterworld. What's that movie with the... It's Kevin Space. Is it Kevin Spacey? The water movie? Oh,
no idea.
He's like an alien.
One of the craziest things about Encino Man is that Sam Gamgee digs a pool in his backyard single-handedly in like no time. I mean, in the course of the movie... It goes from he has, like, started digging a hole to, like, there's a full-ass finished pool with tiles and everything at the end where he has a party. And it's
How
been, like, one summer.
How many days does the
movie
take place? That's pretty impressive. You need some heavy machinery for that. And
yeah,
he did it with his hands.
He did
but
it
that's,
with a shovel.
That's what I'm saying. Cavemen are different. They are built different. They are not the same as us, and we gotta... there's no way.
Well, I don't know if the caveman helped. It started out he was just doing it alone. I'm talking about the
I'm
kid.
I'm sorry. Did I not? Was I
house.
Not listening? I thought. Oh, I guess for some reason I thought
he
you meant the caveman.
He finds Brendan Fraser in ice
right.
while he's digging the pool.
Okay. Well, there goes my theory.
Go watch it as your
K-Pax.
Homework. You'll understand.
Have you
you'll
ever
understand.
Heard of K-Pax? Maybe. Well, I gotta
no.
watch Nightmare on Elm Street and all these other movies. Were there any good? There must have been some good questions last week, right?
Yes. So I have a couple questions again that might be from like a long time ago, but
sure.
Apparently Pokeballer Luke has asked us multiple times and we keep ignoring him. Sorry, Luke. What online communities were you a part of when you were younger? And I
oh,
have,
man.
I mean, we've talked about this before in general, I think. I know you were on a Pokemon forum. I was on Neopets.
I was all up on that Pokemon forum. That was my life.
But I thought of another one that was like very obscure that I'm curious to know if anybody in our audience has even heard of this. I don't even know how I found this, but I was very into Neopets, and then there was a period of time, I think when I was in high school by this time, because it was when I was getting into like web development and stuff, there was a website called My Virtual Pet Site that was like a virtual pet site engine that some person had created, and you could make an account on this website and make your own virtual pet website like Neopets. And you could,
oh.
you could custom code some stuff if you knew how to do that, but it was also just like totally set up so that you could just upload the images of the pets and stuff that you wanted and have your own like working website like Neopets.
That's interesting. And so could you go on other people's websites, or is it you're making it for yourself, really?
You could, I mean, so it was like fully functional, like, and some of these websites were relatively popular, meaning they probably had like maybe 100 players or something. But so it was like a community of people that were each making their own virtual pet website. And then there was like a forum to talk about the process and like ask for help and like share what you're making. So I wish I could remember what the hell mine was called, or like what I would... I don't even know. Maybe I just didn't even get very far, because I can't remember what I was using for the pet images. I've never really...
Was this like the equivalent of making a MySpace page, or was it more involved than that?
I mean, so there was a lot of stuff that was
pre... Like a GeoCities page?
There was a lot of stuff that was like pre-set up for you, like a lot of systems, like just having pets, adopting pets. These would all be like pages that were set up for you. But then you could custom code whatever you wanted and add whatever you wanted if you knew how to do that.
Okay. So it was like Squarespace for Neopets.
Pretty much, yeah. But it was like way before a lot of these kind of website builder sites existed. And as far as I know, like, there might have been a paid version of it at some point. But it was mostly free. Like, it was just whatever. The guy that made it, it was just like a passion project or whatever. But it was a very active little community for a time. And, it doesn't exist anymore. I've tried to look it up before, and it's funny, like, you can barely even find anything about it because it just, like, has been wiped from existence. But
did you check,
it was really cute at the time, and I remember, like, just really enjoying being on the forums and, like, talking about coding stuff, and people would, like, share art and hire each other to, like, make art for their sites. It was a really cute time, and I really like a little creative... forum like that. I haven't been a part of a community like that in a very long time, but I was in a lot of them when I was younger.
Did it look like this? Is this what it looked like? I sent you a picture on Discord. Or is that something else? Because it does say, welcome to my virtual pet site.
I mean, it had different layouts over the years.
Yeah. So there's a couple of snapshots of it on the Wayback Machine, but they all are just this one single random page. But it depends on what year you used it, I suppose. But it looks very simple. It allows you to own and operate your own virtual pet website, even if you have no HTML experience. And how did they pay for this?
Just out of the kindness of their hearts, I don't know.
Really? They were just running it for people. That's good for them.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, I don't know how they made money.
Well, I guess that explains maybe why they're not around. But
yeah.
Also, there was just way less people using the internet than there are now. Like, I don't think we really appreciate the scale of just what percentage of people are, like, online constantly now compared to back then.
Yeah, and it's crazy how I remember being on websites or forums or whatever and thinking, like, just my idea of like the scale of internet communities is so different now, because I would have thought if a website had like forum posts on it every half hour, that was like an active forum. Like there was like a lot going on.
Like a forum post of any kind in any thread every half hour? Or you mean like a new post being posted every half hour? Like a new thread?
Like a new thread.
Yeah. That is fairly active, though, I would say. Like, that Pokemon forum I was on was probably slightly more active than that, but it was, like, in the ballpark.
Yeah.
Of, like,
but now it's,
every,
like,
you
know. Like, there's so many people on, like, if you compare to TikTok or something, where it's, like, it's so fast, constant, nonstop. Like, every second there's, like, thousands of videos being uploaded. It's just a totally different sense of scale, and now, if I were to go to a forum like that, I'd be, like, this is boring. Nothing is happening. I'm having to, like, the whole idea of having to refresh the page to see replies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is crazy.
Not to mention having to pick what you look at instead of having it just shoved down your throat the moment you open the app. It's, I wonder if there will be a splintering of the internet again at some point, or if those types of communities will just show up somewhere else. Because it is like,
well, they
that
still
thing
exist.
That people talk about. They
if
do,
you look
but
for them.
How do you find them? Like, if I wanted to find... Let's say I wanted to be on an... like, a forum for... I don't know. What do I like? Aviation. Let's say I want to, let's see if I type in aviation forum.
I'm sure you can find
airliners.net. Let's see how much people are talking. Oh, you know, okay. Yeah, actually, no, you're so right. This is like still active. Like within the last few moments, like many comments have been posted.
Yeah.
In all of these
get
threads.
On that. Get into airliners.net.
maybe I will. Maybe I will. Yeah, I should. We gotta get off all these big websites. Reddit.
Man dies in 3 injured in helicopter crash. I mean, this is exactly the kind of stuff you love to read.
I know it so is. All right, I'll look up some forums. Let's get on some forums.
Oh my
let's
god!
Get off
and
this
like
Reddit.
Yeah, and forum
get
signatures I miss.
And a little picture.
I miss all the customization.
Yeah. Maybe we should make a forum. Maybe we should have like a
I know,
forum.
But we're going to say all this and then do it and then not use it.
Never. No, yeah, never ever go
like
on it
never,
ever again. Yeah,
never,
I'm pretty sure I did make
it.
A forum at some point and I never used it, so.
Oh, well. So we're just sitting here.
I feel like we're big enough that if we actually put the energy into it, we could probably get a little something going. Just a bunch of weirdos talking on a place about, I don't even know what.
And that's
cute.
Really what it is.
It'd be like Discord, but slower.
That's what it is the internet used to be like mostly weirdos. And now there's like so many normies in it. It's really shifted.
Yeah. And,
the
but
culture.
Now the normies have just become weirdos. And so now everyone is just insane.
So true.
That's the way it goes.
Next question was, would you guys tell us that you found a gray hair? Which I just think is funny because I already have like 20 gray hairs. I pull them out. I think I've also said that before.
Yeah, oh, you do pull them out.
Yeah, usually.
I think, yeah.
Do
I
you
don't
not have
that
any?
Many in my head. No, I've got some in my beard, but not, like, I have a good number, like, if you look in my beard, but not, there's not that many that come in my head. Every once in a while, like, if I have a really rough week.
Like, you've
Ashton
had one.
Be like, oh, you have a gray hair. What do you mean?
I just mean surely you've had at least one gray hair on
oh,
your head.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely I've had at least one.
Yeah.
But it's not like a thing. Like, my hair isn't going gray yet.
Well, sure. My hair isn't going
like
gray yet
sense.
Either, I hope.
Well, 20 gray hairs, man. I mean, you're getting there.
How
many hairs
you
got on your head? There's
20...
probably 300 of them up there, so that's a good chunk.
They're all, for some reason, also, like, right on top of my head in the front, like, in my bangs. So it's, like, the most obvious place for them to be.
That's actually a cute place if and when you do, well, I say if, when, cause eventually you'll go gray, but when you actually do, I
couldn't
feel like that's
me.
A really cute place.
You think I should just have
gray
bangs and
I feel
the
like
rest
it's
my
a,
hair
that's
is
a cute place to go gray. I think it works. It's like, you know, a little salt and pepper
it's
hairs.
It's not that
There's
bad. What annoys
that.
Me about it is that the texture is different, which people say that, like, the texture of gray hair is different. So my gray hairs are, like, curly... And they don't, like, lay
Whoa.
Right. So, that part
like
of it
Einstein
is annoying.
Hair.
Yeah, I don't know. My hair's going to be crazy
okay.
if it's all like that when it's all gray. But I do, I
yeah.
think, I might take this back. So, if you see me dyeing
okay.
my gray hair, don't say anything. But I don't think I would dye it, is my idea. Like, I think I'll
I
just
mean,
go
I, the
gray
reason,
gracefully.
I think the problem is, the reason why people tend to is because... You don't go gray fast enough.
Right.
So it's like there's this long period of time where there's just some weird random gray
That's
patches
true.
And it just doesn't look good. So then people end up dyeing it. So you could pre-dye it gray to like make it all match. Or you have to find some way to ride that line, you know.
But That's true, yeah. I don't know. We'll see.
Everyone deals with it differently. You could just be a hermit for a year and a half as it starts to go gray and then just come out on the other side with a nice, like, even salt and pepper. But, I don't know.
I would love to be a hermit for some period of time in my life.
It could happen.
Just like...
You go be live in a cabin for
a
year somewhere. Yeah. Like a hobbit.
That's how I'm going to come up with all my great ideas. Like how artists will go... They'll be like, I rented a cabin in the mountains to write this album. I'm going to do that for my next... movie games YouTube video.
I love when people do that, and then it's like the worst album you've ever heard. I think it's so funny.
And they're always
when
like
people like to yeah.
They're always incorporating. They're like, I went outside at night and like recorded the hyenas, and that's part of the
track.
Yeah,
and you're like, it didn't make a difference. It made no difference at all in the quality of the album. And they just think that because, and I'm not knocking people because every artist should do this, and this is a beautiful thing to do. But like this idea that like because it's a like a unique thing that I recorded for me, that specialness is going to come across to everybody else who wasn't there, is just such a funny like artistic fallacy. So sometimes people go to cabins and write great albums, but generally speaking, I don't think there's a strong correlation between like the like, what's the word? Not like the location you make an album or whatever, but like, you know, like the thoughtfulness or the effort you put into it and how good it is. It's like kind of random. There's like albums where you put no work into it and albums where you put
a
ton.
Yeah, I understand.
Sometimes they're great and sometimes they're bad.
I understand the desire to do that, like to just kind of put yourself in a new place and get in a different headspace to actually be able to create something, because I do find...
Totally.
You know, my job is very much like in my house, in my own head. And I find that I need to like live a real life and have real experiences to actually end up having good ideas. Cause if I'm just like, if I'm not having any new input, then I don't have anything to like base any kind of new ideas off of. So
right.
I understand
Nightmare
the desire
Street.
To be like, oh my God, I need to like get out of my own head. I need to get out of my house. I need to fucking go to a mountain, I guess. But I think it can be anything. It doesn't have to be like a secluded cabin
yes.
in nature. You just have
the
to
fetishizing
do
of
something
like,
with your life.
Yeah, that's exactly correct. I totally and completely agree with everything you just said. And that's all I have to say.
So get a life. That's been my motto lately. I don't know if I said that already. My motto lately
yeah,
has been
and keep it.
Get a life. When I find myself reading my YouTube comments and getting upset, I'm
like
literally,
get
girl,
a life.
Get a fucking life. And that's what
Such
works for me
advice.
To like snap myself out of it, is I have to be a little mean mm-hmm. to myself and be like, you know what?
Yeah.
This doesn't fucking matter. Find something
yeah.
to do. Go outside. Get over it.
Yep.
So that's my advice to the audience today, is if you're upset about something, get a fucking life. In a positive way.
Agreed.
Get a fucking life.
I cosign.
Slash pause. You know how people do the little slash like mood indicators? Get a life. Slash pause.
Slash pause. I don't like those things. I know it makes me ableist or like a little bit, because sometimes it's hard to tell tone and whatnot, and I get that. But I don't like having to tell people when I'm being... Like, imagine if after my great story about being chased through the maze, I had to go slash S. That would have been horrible. It would not have worked at all. So I don't like doing that. I appreciate it, but I don't want people to
yeah,
know my
yeah.
mood.
I get
you know?
It, I get
I'm
it.
Trying
I
to
think
stay
we've
mysterious.
Talked about this before, and I prefer emojis, which I think you also said you didn't like that either. But I do put an emoji at the
I
end
mean,
of every sentence to indicate the tone. I'll put a little smile.
If you need to be sure that people know the tone, yeah, you have to then be sure. But I think most of the time I'm like, if you misread the tone, it just misread it and then it's fine. Like not everyone has to understand everybody. In my opinion.
No, the Hat Man was definitely funnier without you, without any tone indicators, because I've been thinking
yeah.
about that for weeks, apparently.
I know, and now we got to get another bit out of it. It was great. It's like, it was the two birds with one stone.
All right, should we do one more? Or no?
Yeah,
no.
Are you still eating cheese?
Am I still eating cheese in general?
You were like having a cheese... situation, and I'm just checking back in on you as a friend.
The issue was with the eggs. The eggs were causing problems.
Oh, okay, got it. Sorry, the eggs.
I eat cheese essentially every day.
Are you still eating eggs? You're back to the eggs? You stay back with
eggs? I haven't got back to the eggs yet, but you know what? Some people had great suggestions for products that could help me with my problem I was having, so I may get back into
eggs.
I
hate when people make suggestions. Do you like it when people suggest things for you in your life? Because I can't stand it.
Yeah. If it's something about
like when,
as simple as eat this and you won't have... Oh,
you did
I
it again.
Okay, but I said... That time I said... Whoa, what is happening?
It sucked you up, the tornado. It's coming
oh,
back for
true,
you again.
True. So it keeps thinking I'm doing the one called Tempest, which again, it's not going to do it again because it just... There's a cooldown on it. But I said...
Interesting.
What did I say? I said, eat this or something like that. And then it went
you
off.
You want to try it again?
So it's very sensitive controls here. Okay, it's cooled down. Eat this. Eat less.
Nothing. Eat this. You gotta say, what was the full sentence?
I don't remember.
God. People are trying to tell you to eat this and something. I don't know.
Anyway, Aerobis. Oh my god, it's not Aerobis.
Whoa. You got me. I feel like I'm in Defense Against the Dark Arts.
All right, well, that's enough podcast, I think.
Oh, really? There you go. All right, I'll take it. I like when it ends abruptly.